Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, and it's almost a happy Christmas, and I hope you're all doing well out there. Many of you will know that a few months ago I spoke to Murray Hills. He's the Managing Director of Elevate Uranium. ASX code is EL8. I was about to say AL8, Murray. EL8. Murray Hills, the Managing Director, and he's always great fun to chat to. Now, they recently did a share placement, $11.5 million, so I wanted to bring Murray on to talk about that. Use of funds, why they even did it, where to from here. As we go into the Christmas period, what are they going to be doing in 2022? Murray, great to see you.
It's always good to see you, Kerry. You're always smiling, always happy.
Well, the opposite's no good, is it? Wouldn't be too good if I wasn't smiling. My poor audience would go, what's wrong with her? Is she eating something?
It makes for a boring interview, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Now, look, Murray, for those that might be sleeping under a rock, can you just do a brief overview of who are Elevate Uranium, just quickly, and then I want to go into the share placement, why you did it, use of funds.
Yeah. Okay. So Elevate Uranium is a uranium-focused exploration company with projects in Namibia and Australia, probably one of the most active exploration companies for uranium on the ASX. And we've got a lot of activity in Namibia. We've had recent discoveries. Build up a large ground position for nuclear fuels. I've just done some more M&A a couple of years ago in Australia, and now really beginning to get our teeth into that project. And we did a raising last November, actually, and that gave us a bit of funds to really get moving on exploration. And as you say, we'll talk about the latest raising in a moment, but very active exploration company and focused on carbon-free energy and the future that we need is carbon-free energy from nuclear power.
Well, before we get into the share placement and the use of funds, just briefly, with this carbon-free energy, do you think the world is starting to understand that this is a good energy source? Do you think there's a bit of a groundswell now that there hasn't been in the past?
Yeah, look, I think there's certainly, particularly over the last 6 to 12 months, we're really beginning to see that. The outcomes of COP26, even in Australia with the nuclear submarine deal, that's got people talking about nuclear, because if we don't have a nuclear industry here, how can we service these submarines, our submarines? So that's fueled debate there and discussion. Unfortunately, there's a lot of emotive issues around nuclear. People get really upset about it. But when you delve down into the facts, it's the lowest carbon emission technology we've got. It's the death rate from any accident is minuscule compared to, and you may not understand this, but the death rates from wind and solar are far higher than nuclear because really? people falling off roofs, putting solar panels on. That's not funny, but it's, that's the sort of thing that's happening, and deaths from wind. So the number of deaths from accidents around the world has been very small. And when you consider how many nuclear power plants in the world, how many accidents that occur, it's very small. So the focus has really come back on the carbon-free energy and how safe nuclear is. So once you can take the emotive aspect out of it and deal with fact, it's an absolute standout. And, the likes of Michael Schellenberger, if you've never seen him before, look him up on YouTube. He was
Michael Schellenberger.
He was an environmentalist anti-nuclear, has done all the research, and he's gone. He is so pro-nuclear now. He says, I wish I'd never pushed solar back all those years ago. So he explains why he shifted from, his bias. It's certainly a lot of discussion around it. So I think it's going to change, absolutely. And people are beginning to realise, and I think the younger generation are realising that nuclear is, when you want to come home and turn the lights on, when you want them on, you need reliable baseload energy. And we've seen enough incidents around the world where, unfortunately, renewables as a baseload power source don't cut the mustard. Yes, they can fit into the energy mix, but they're not a baseload power system. So we need baseload power, and that's what nuclear is.
Yeah, and that's what we like about it. So it's baseload power. So go check out Michael Schellenberger if you want to understand a little bit more and educate yourselves about nuclear. So let's get straight into Elevate Uranium itself. Just recently, you did a $11.5 million share placement. Why did you do that at this particular time? What was the rationale? Was there a rationale around the number?
Always rationale behind everything, isn't there? Just got to understand what it is. Exactly. Look, and some shareholders are probably wondering why. Certainly, when we did our last raising back in November 2020, we had a market cap of about $12 million. Mm-hmm. So institutions don't get out of bed, for companies that have market caps that low. So we needed to attract instos at some stage. We knew that appreciating market capitalization would do so. And to strengthen your register, you want institutions on your register, right? So as I say, we didn't have the market cap to attract them previously. We got our market cap over 100 million. We had instos coming to us and say, look, we like this story. How can we get in? We spoke to our supporting broker in Melbourne, Cumulus Wealth, and we said, right, where are we going with this? And we agreed to sort of go out and test the level, further level of instos with very, very strong support. So we went out live for a capital raising. We were oversubscribed. We didn't want too much in terms of funds because we thought we could spend, 11 million over a period of time, over a couple of years to fit our budget that we've got in our aggressive exploration portfolio. But it was all about getting institutions on our register and strengthening our register. And the timing was such that, our market cap was over 100. There was an appetite for uranium and nuclear, and we decided to go out and do it. So, as I say, very successful because we had to scale them back. And
always a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always. But, when you're a CEO and you're having money in the past and you see all this money, you go, ooh, I could do with that. But, yeah, that's the smart thing to do was scale it back. But the smart thing to do was get institutions on our register, and that's what we've done.
You said because having institutions on the register helps. How does that help? Just explain why it was important to get them on the register at this stage.
Just previously just had retail really on our institution, and retail, react to the environment and the sentiment, the share price floats around everywhere. When you've got institutions, they're stable, they're very sticky investors, and they understand the math around nuclear and uranium, and they're there for the longer term, and they're there to support you to the next raise. So that's really important for us.
Were they Australian institution, or did you have overseas support as well?
Mostly Asia Pacific, yeah, but some in other continents around the world, but predominantly Asia Pacific, yeah.
Okay, great. So Murray, it's done. Raised 45 cents a share. What's the use of the funds going forward? What are you going to be doing? Because we're not that far away from Christmas, so not a lot's going to happen, I guess. So what I'd like to find out is 2022. What does that involve for Elevate with this?
Well,
funding in place.
You might see from the outside that not a lot happening leading into Christmas, but there's a hell of a lot happening here. We're preparing ourselves. So we've elevated our bank account. You like the word elevate, don't you? We've elevated our exploration team numbers, right? We're building a team in Namibia, in Australia. We're elevating a drill rig on the site that's active, and that's going to be active for the next 12 months at least, full time in Namibia.
Sorry to interrupt you, Murray. This is all in Namibia?
No, not everything's in Namibia. No, okay. We've got both focus in Namibia and Australia, but we're certainly building a team both sides, both continents, in Namibia and Australia, and in terms of continent being Africa, of course. We're looking at elevating a helicopter up to do some more airborne EM. I'll just keep using the word elevate because that's what we're doing. We're elevating
everything.
You're
going to annoy my subscribers. They're going to write to me saying, tell them to stop using the word elevate.
So at the end of the day, what we're doing now is we've got a drill rig active on exploration in at the Coppice project, and it's doing resource drilling, right? That drill rig was taken away from regional exploration because we wanted to get a resource at Coppice, our maiden resource there. So we're expecting to finish that drilling this week before the rig goes on break for Christmas. We'll then get back to regional exploration in Namibia. And the airborne EM survey we did in April, got the results in July this year. That's given our exploration manager something to plan exploration programs off in terms of a little bit more detailed EM on ground and also drilling. So that's going to happen next year. We're looking at the Maranika project in Namibia. It's a 61 million pound resource. Used to be our namesake company, but since we changed to Elevate back in June, That has exploration potential on it. Our exploration manager is going back, looking at all the historical drill rights results. What's there? What does it mean? Have we got high grade areas? Is there areas for potential exploration? He's identified a few. So we've got plans around that. We've got a lot of work around the Namib area, where we've got copies in Hirabeb and Namib for our three recent discoveries, and the airborne EM that supports the fact there's more channels there. So we want to go and drill those. So so the airborne EM I referred to before was we've got some exploration ground that hasn't been flown, right, for a number of reasons. It didn't have environmental clearance, or we didn't have approval to get on it. So we're now sorting that out. We'll get that flowing next year. So there's a lot of planning going on now. There's a lot of drilling going on. And we expect to put our maiden resource out and copies out Q1 next year. And then that'll determine where we go from there. Do we go straight into, there'll be an inferred resource? Do we go straight into indicated drilling and build up the resource confidence level, and then enable us to go and do studies on the back of it and announce financial metrics? Moving across to Australia, we've got an ET. We just put our exploration target. We just put out on the Ubuguma up near Derby.
I love that name.
You do, don't you? That's, yep. It is a great name. Yeah. So, there's a lot of historical drill holes there. So we're wading through those historical drill holes. Can we put a resource on it? How much more drilling do we need to put a resource on it? We're planning that drill program. It's moving into the wet season up north of WA, so we won't get a drill rig in there. So we'll plan to get the rig in there, later next year. So planning around that. Angela, we've sort of done a lot of work on metallurgical performance. We've lowered the acid consumption for that project by 80% with our smarts and our upgrade process. And now we want to look at, the mining aspect of it. Is an open pit moving into underground? Is it straight into underground? So there's a lot of sort of study work to do around that. And then Minerva, we've got 29 drill holes at Minerva, historical holes, over 10,000 ppm, over 1% uranium. All right, so we're looking at, okay, what do we want to do here? Do we want to drill some more holes? Where's this mineralization extend to? So a lot of work there. So a lot of preparation work is happening now. So when we come to next year, we're just going to be hit the ground running. We're expecting a lot of results to be in it, and consistent news flow through the near.
In terms of, because they're very distinct projects, you've got Namibia, Australia, and I guess for shareholders or would-be shareholders, the investment thesis is, are you managing them as very much separate projects under the Elevate name, or are there ways of bringing them together? I'm just trying to figure out from an investor point of view, which one's your favorite child, and and what are the challenges and opportunities with each one?
My favorite child changes by the month, actually. depends on the results. For a while there, copies is my favourite child, but then who knows, Hirabeb could be with the additional drilling, or Namib 4 could be, or one of these other ones we've got could be. What we see is we're doing the exploration is cheaper in Namibia, it's lower cost, right?
Yeah.
So the drill rig's costing us nominally $50 a metre. Now at copies, our deepest hole is 20 metres.
Oh, wow. Right? Okay.
So you're not having to, you can drill, like we're drilling 70 holes a week, right? You can drill quite quickly. So you can cover a larger area. Whereas in Australia, tend to be a higher costs, right, for exploration. And a little bit deeper, the Thatcher Soak resource is about the same as Namibia, but some of our other ones are deeper. So they tend to be a little bit more expensive drilling to cover a certain area. And also because it's mostly exploration ground in Namibia, apart from, the Maranika project, which has got a lot of exploration potential on it, the blue sky potential of Namibia is far higher than Australia, right? We're thinking we're a little bit higher ratio of their expenditure goes to Namibia because there's huge upside potential. And if we go and find three or four deposits, all of a sudden, the company doubles, triples or whatever in market cap. So we, whereas in Australia, a little bit more defined in terms of the resource, mineralized area, like Ubuguma, it's a little bit more defined, even though we haven't got a resource on it, we've got an exploration target on it. But then our exploration manager saying, I think this has got potential outside of what we believe is mineralized. we need to have a look at this. So we want to do some, you know, geophysical surveys and additional drilling to check it out. So there is certainly a lot of upside in Australian assets, both through geological work and also through our upgrade process. But the blue sky potential is greatest in Namibia, which sort of, you know, it makes you favour that a little bit more. But, you know, the assets, if you didn't have the Namibia, our assets in Australia are fantastic anyway. So,
yeah, you know, which is what I was actually going to ask you that, because the Namibia assets are what Elevate Uranium started with, yeah, and then Australia came on afterwards. And I guess my question from an investor point of view is, why did you add the Australian assets? Was it because to have more than one project's better? Was it to balance it out? Just what was the rationale behind that?
Going back, right, you said that Elevate just had the Namibia. We actually had the Maronek Uranium Project. That's all we had. Then we developed Upgrade. Okay. And then we went into this large land position and explored in Namibia and had great success there, or having great success. And then it came up that we were you know, keeping your eyes wide open. We had our eyes wide open to develop Upgrade. And that's how we conduct our business. Keep your eyes wide open and see what's in front of you. These assets come up in Australia. We've gone, well, let's have a look at these. Yes, and they all come up as a package. We think we can add value to these. So we picked them up, I think I've told you before, for 4 cents per pound in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when I consulted to Extract Resources on the Husab project in Namibia, that was eventually sold for $4.50 per pound in the ground. Right. And the Kazakhs and the Chinese just did a deal for $8 a pound on the Chinese to acquire 49% of a Kazakh project. I'm not suggesting we're $4.50 or 8, but I can tell you 4 cents a pound is minuscule. And when you've got Uber Guma with an exploration target, the potential to double our resource in Australia, well, what's harder than 4 cents? It's nothing, absolutely nothing for these assets. So we think it was a fantastic acquisition based on the price alone. But also we've added value. Like, we've gone and added value to Angela through application of Upgrade, reduced the acid consumption. Yep. We think we can add significant value to Uber Guma by putting a resource on it, firstly. And then I've talked about Minerva, and we've got Thatcher Soak, and we've got these other joint venture ones. So we believe that it was a steal, right, in terms of price. And we knew that uranium price was going to go up. It had to go. You know, we're in an unsustainable industry where you're not producing enough uranium to meet demand now, let alone future demand.
Yeah.
So the only way for the uranium price was to go up. So we thought this is a fantastic leverage to the uranium price, if nothing else. But then when you add value to them through the work we're doing, well, you've got leverage to the uranium price and leverage to our work. So we thought it was a very, very strategic acquisition.
So for coming into 2022, what do you think? Because looking at Elevate's share price, it had, you know, we were speaking back in June, it was about 37 cents and had a bit of a spike in September up to about 70. There was a lot of excitement around Elevate at that stage, come back a little bit at the moment. I guess what I'm pushing for is, for those people listening, where you think the value, and you talked to Namibia, lots of blue sky there. What do you think is going to be the next catalyst? You've raised the money. You've got a lot of work coming out. Do you think it's in a new discovery in Namibia? Is it adding more resource to the Australian side? Give us a feel for what you think is going to be a catalyst for that share price in 2022.
Well, an interesting part of that, initial part of that sort of question was, you know, the price rise back in September. And we did go to 78.5 cents, I think it was. So, and one of the things that I've read and seen in historically, you've seen it in the last boom, because I was a shareholder of Extract Resources when they went from 20 cents to $12 or whatever. Not to say I got all that money, by the way, but that's what their price did.
I was just about to say, drinks are on you, ladies and gentlemen.
No. I know a few blokes who did, but it wasn't me. You know, that retraced 40 to 50% at times. Right.
Yeah.
So you're not ever going to get a stock going straight up. It's always going to have some retracements. And this is one of those now. The sector went up. We went up probably strongest of all because we weren't that well known. And the work you're doing, the work we're doing now, sort of getting our name out there, is certainly helping. People didn't know who Maronika or / Elevate were. And because we've been quiet, we built up this land position in Namibia. You had to be quiet to do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, you're going to get trumped. So, that's why we were quiet. So we needed to get our profile up. You were helping doing that. And I think that was like, oh, here's a great stock. It's got a low market cap. let's jump in, right? And I think that that's why we probably went higher than anybody else. And the retracement now is we're all retracing 40 to 50%, somewhere in that order in terms of the uranium industry. But that's an opportunity for people to buy. Right. What a fantastic opportunity, because the math hasn't changed. The uranium story is just getting stronger and stronger. And I've almost forgotten your question.
I was only joking,
Kerry.
He's very rude at times. Put some comments down below about be nice to Kerry Murray.
So look, I think that the news flow, I think investors like to see resources, right?
Yes.
But they also like to see blue sky. So, you know, that's why we shifted the rig from exploration, regional exploration at Hirabeb, Namu 4 and so forth, into copies to get a resource there, right? So we want to get pounds into our asset base in terms of resources. We're working on Ubuguma to get pounds into that, right? So we think that's going to give us a bit of a lift. And then, of course, regional exploration and finding new projects and improving those up is going to be continually lift. So we think that we've sort of, for want of a better word, the pipeline, you've probably never heard of that phrase before, a pipeline of things. So, you know, copies, resource, and then maybe the Ubuguma one. And then what else comes out of these other projects moving into resources, expansion of Maranika resource. You know, there's a lot of news flow coming out that has the potential to impact our price. And then we believe we'll go on to the global ETF, uranium ETF in New York. Because we fit the criteria now. You know, our market cap's up there, our daily turnover, our liquidity is up. So we're potential to move on to that, which, you know, they've then got to buy a percentage of our stock. So we think that could, and that's wow. Sort of towards the end of January. So that we think could play an impact. That may
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely.
Because you never know what they're going to do. They might elect not to put us on, but, you know, we're certainly there now. Yeah, we just think there's a lot of activity that we're planning now that's going to come to fruition next year that'll really add value to us.
Yeah, okay. So lots of news flow coming up in 2022. We're running out of time, Murray, and you know what I'd like? Three reasons as we finish up, three reasons, make them good for my investor audience out there, that why they should be sitting up and taking notice of Elevate as we come into that wonderful, why should they have a Christmas present from Elevate?
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas, isn't it? You should have worn a Christmas shirt today, and I should have a Christmas
yes,
tie on.
Yes, both should have.
Yeah, but
don't even have any tinsel.
Look, what do we do? Why invest in us? We're one of the most active exploration companies on the ASX in uranium. So we've got a lot of news flow coming out, resources, exploration coming out. We're in the uranium industry. We know the uranium price has to go up. So we've not only got leverage to the work we're doing on exploration and resources, but we've got leverage to the uranium price, which is going to go up, right? So, and we've got a great team, all right? So, and we've all got experience in uranium. We've seen the previous boom. We've built an asset base at the low uranium price, strong asset base, and now we're really building on that asset, working off that to get, you know, to where we want to be as a company.
Well, it's been fantastic to talk to you today, Murray Hill, Managing Director of Elevate Uranium. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Resources as well as blue sky, potentially the ETF having to come in on board, and quite an active explorer both in Australia and in West Africa. Thank you so much for joining me on Small Caps. Wishing you a fantastic Christmas, and all of you out there that listen to us, thank you very much for listening. And thanks very much, Murray. We'll see you again soon. Let's chat in 2022.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kerry. Have a good Christmas.